This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gardo's post game coming up Saturday after the Gardo's game against the, well, we'll find out, either the Detroit Tigers or the Houston Astros. Tigers have a one-up lead in that series. They play today, and our very own Mitch Spinell will be one of the co-hosts. There'll be him and Jake Volnick on the post game show Saturday afternoon after the Guardians take on whoever in ALDS game number one. You want to put Mitch on the spot real quick?
Yeah, I put him on the spot. I love this. Right now, Mitch, because we want to establish your credibility on the station, because everything you've done to this point has eroded a lot of that with your hat wearing and whatnot. But in this case,
I will get into that later.
Mitch does know his baseball, and he watches a lot of baseball. And yesterday was a full day of baseball watching. So who better than to ask the question, you heard us mulling it over earlier in the show, what do the Guardians do for game three?
Well, as far as what their pitching rotation
yes.
goes, I'm not against the idea of Alex Cobb going game three despite his limited outing on his simulation game Monday. But I really need, if Gavin Williams is going to be your bulk reliever like Mandy Bell suggested yesterday on Afternoon Drive, then I need him to go to like some sort of 2016 Andrew Miller form, not just for this game, but for the rest of the postseason. That'd be such a big help for a Guardians bullpen that has worked a lot this season already and has been fantastic. But I don't want them to get overworked this October.
Now, they do have the buffers. We talked about the buffer.
Their family had a lot of buffers.
A lot of buffer. Like, they have the days off. And that is key in what I think everything, how they are going to handle the bullpen, how they're going to handle those games. I do wonder, those first two games, man, especially game one, I cannot wait to see how Vogt uses that bullpen. Is it Terry Francona-esque from 2016? Is he prepared to do what is necessary?
Where he ends Andrew Miller's career before our very own eyes, and we just don't know it yet.
But man, it was a wild ride. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun going down. I don't regret a moment of it. 216-474-0092. So I'm getting a lot of people who are actually agreeing with me. Because I said that if he continues to play, Deshaun Watson continues to play the way he did on Sunday, he's not going anywhere. I had people on Monday, and I think they were mad, saying that if the Browns want to save their season, they have to start Jameis Winston, and I thought that that was an emotional reaction and not true. If they still feel that way, fine. But I think there are some people out there that have a problem with accepting what I consider to be the truth. He has to play much better to get them to where they need to go. It could very well be a situation of Houston where they are a 4-12 football team, but he plays well. And that season, he played exceedingly well. And then you go, what do we do with the coach? Because that would be a conversation they have. Then what do we do with all these other players? How do we amass picks and then maybe possibly, because of the contract, build around him? Well, he'd have to play much better to have that conversation. Or if he continues to play like this, you just can't replace him because of the money. Not the money you pay him. The money you pay him is whatever. It's the dead cap that works against you. So you have to continue to do this. We would get to a level where if he were to continue to play like this in 2026, where you'd go, all right, enough's going to be enough here. We're moving on. We're finding a first-round quarterback, and we're going to move on from this. But if he continued to do what he did on Sunday, which was not his fault about drop passes, not his fault about offensive line. Again, where have we said that before? Maybe during the 2021 season, but that's a different conversation for a different day. If he continues to play that way, then he ain't going anywhere.
Hold on. We can admit, right, the play that ends up getting flagged that we've discussed a ton, you know, since. That was vintage Watson. You don't hear me say vintage Watson very often. That was him with an offensive line breaking down, having to keep a play alive, a big-time second-down throw. He steps up into the
damn
pocket.
It, I'll say it. I'll say it with you.
Amari Cooper was there. He spotted him, and he put the throw on the money. It's a touchdown. Like, that was the guy you did trade for. That when things break down,
hold my hand.
He can make an amazing play.
I'll say it with you. It was 2020 Watson, that play.
Okay. And that's,
mark that down.
And I shouldn't say they don't want to hear it. I would hope you'd want to hear it because that's the only way out of this. The way out of this is him being vintage Watson. That's the way out of this. This is what we were all hoping for, was it not?
The way out of this to keep players that you love on this football team, and you know who I'm talking about, is through. Not backwards and getting them out of there.
Do you think Myles Garrett wants to play on a team that is in rebuild and fires the coach and the GM? You think he wants to stick around for that?
Do you think the rebuild wants to keep him here, or do they want to liquidate the asset?
It's a great point. We know how the NFL works.
Tony in Mansfield, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning, Tony. We're doing okay. Go right on ahead.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, and you know, for the past couple of years and even for the first couple of weeks this year, I was just dead set on just done with Watson, right? But Ken, you said it. I mean, I have to completely disagree with the last caller as well, because if you look at the team as a whole, we've talked about everything that does matter. You know, our defense taking a step back, all three phases, linebackers washing themselves out, secondary not playing good, the front not being able to stop the run. You know, they're getting older, right? We talked about we're one of the oldest teams in the NFL now. And often, same situation. You know, there's big talk about how, Kevin Stefanski can make any quarterback better. But if we really look at not just the scheme of the coach, but really the players that we had, especially our offensive line. Our offensive line is done, and obviously we know we've all talked again about how we're missing our offensive line coach, right, and the way that he worked with our run fits. The thing is last week Deshaun looked like Deshaun, just his aura, his energy, the way that he kind of commanded himself and the team. Now, I'm not saying he was perfect or, you know, great, but he was looking like vintage Deshaun Watson. But what scares me, and like you said, you know, we're going to keep Deshaun over Stefanski, right? It's not even that. It's, you know, where are we going to find another quarterback Deshaun's age and with his skill set and his athletic ability? Well, we're not going to find that in the draft right now with where we sit. What are we going to do? We're going to sign a 30-year, 8-year-old veteran to come in again on a 1-2-year contract? No. And plus the cap space that we have on Deshaun, we're going to be keeping him. What worries me is that our team, the window's closing, and I think we've kind of overvalued our roster.
Well, yes. And also what frankly scares me, Tony, and I think what should scare everybody else, I said if he plays this well, he ain't going anywhere. I didn't say that was good enough to be a very competitive team. They still lost the game. So I think that what scares me the most is that if he does actually continue to play this way, I can't argue, and Tony, thank you for the call, I can't argue to get rid of him right now or at the end of the year. I can't argue that I would want to keep the coach, but you know, maybe I'll feel differently.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
By the end of the season, I can't argue to get rid of him, and I also know that he's not bad enough to replace, and I just know he's not good enough to be a real serious competitive quarterback on a competitive team. So then we're stuck. So it's like, if you're going to lose games, well then he has to play poorly so you can force the liquidation and then you can begin the rebuild. If he plays exceedingly well, then we're going to win games. Hopefully we'll win games and they won't get in the way. And then we could continue to actually get some return on this massive investment, not just on what the Browns have paid. Forget that. I'm talking about your emotions, your patience, your feelings, everything. That's the investment the fans make. Your time, the most important one of them, your time of the investment, that's the biggest thing for us.
Well, that's what I wonder. How hard is it going to be for Deshaun Watson to earn the trust of Browns fans, to get them back on his side? It's not just going to be one game that you lost and only threw for 175 yards. We know that. We had a guy that barely watched the game and called in to talk about his pedestrian numbers. Yeah, he didn't watch the game. So, you know,
said he saw the sack.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that that's a Browns fan. He's listening to a sports talk radio show. He's sitting here on a Wednesday taking the time to call. He's been so turned off by the whole experience that he's barely watching the games. There are a lot more people out there than I think you realize. What is it going to take for Watson to earn those guys back?
It's going to take good play, and they're going to win that game. If he wins that, if they win that game, say he tosses one into the end zone, and Amari Cooper, Blake Whitehart, who sounds like a WWE jobber, say Blake Whitehart comes down with the ball. What happens? They win that football game. What are we talking about with Deshaun Watson? How are we feeling about the entire experience? Like, there'd definitely be some people on the pushback, but hey, you're 2-2. You're back to 500. I mean, right now, we're struggling to find a pulse. Back to the phones. James in East Cleveland, you're next up on The Fan.
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
Morning, James.
Too much to touch on this morning. Okay, the debate about how Deshaun Watson played, I don't think he played well. Y'all arguing about the stats and the eye test. But you know the best way to expose a dirty glass is to put a clean glass next to it. And that clean glass came in the form of Joe Flacco last year when he stepped in and threw for 400. Now, the guy threw for 175, a touchdown and a pick. To me, I thought he played poor. Also, people talking about the defense taking a step back. It ties to that. I don't think the defense is motivated out there to get this guy the ball back. You think Miles Garrett, J.O.K., and those guys want to go out and make hits and make this play on fourth down and turn it over to a quarterback that you know won't get the ball down the field, that won't score? It's a mental thing about it, man. The best hope for the Browns is for Deshaun Watson to step up his game and start playing well. Cap inclusion, the GM, everybody's job is at risk. That is the best case scenario. But right now, this guy ain't got it.
So if he plays that way, you would make a full-throated endorsement of replacing him and putting in Jameis Winston.
Well, I think it's a fluid situation. I think a lot of people want it to be black and white, but it's not. It's possible to go to Jameson in the spot, play him a little bit. I want to see the other guy. Like I said about the clean glass and the dirty glass. And we talk about is the offensive lineman that's playing so porous, it's really hard to get a good read. But would Jameis get the ball out quicker? Would he make the reads faster? Who knows? The only way to see. So you can pull it back. You can not yo-yo the quarterback. The guy's getting paid $230 million. You got to sit on the bench for a game or watch him play. Watch him play, man.
Well, I'll tell you this, James. Like, I'm not gonna bench him. But what I totally agree with you on, and thank you for the call, is that Joe did show you that the coach, usually the coach, we just throw coaches to the side and say, well, it's a quarterback's team and that's it. I mean, hell, we're about to do that in Jacksonville with Doug Peterson. And maybe that's the right thing. What Joe Flacco did was to show you that the coach can really do it. And it gives the coach an argument. Now, there are definitely steadfast people who hate the coach for whatever reason, and they seem to call in and tweet us. But the majority of people are like, hey, he can do a good job with a quarterback who can work his system. Why can't this quarterback work the system? It's been one game. If it becomes 2 and 3 and 4, I do think you're going to win. I do think you're going to win a few of those games. And then it just becomes a system of, all right, where are my other problems at? Is my defense failing me? Is my offensive line failing me? What's failing me here? What is the problem with this football team? Because it wouldn't be the quarterback. Then I have to figure out where to build it there. So now I just have the great big dike, and I'm trying to figure out where to put my fingers in to stop the leaks. But the problem is that if the quarterback's terrible, well, we're just going to get flooded. 216-474-0092. Nick and Nate and Ashtabula. You're next up on The Fan. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
So,
go ahead.
I just wanted to touch up on a few things. I'm optimistic on this Browns team, and I'll admit, I was one of the people who felt very like, I don't want to watch this team until they improve anymore when we lost to the Raiders. But I've sat and reflected and figured there is some good to come take away from this. Since we played in Dallas, Deshaun has been looking better each game. Can he get a complete drive in is my thing. And the one thing I really want to see him do that he just can't seem to get through his head, and no offense to him, is he doesn't know when to throw the ball away, which is why he got sacked 8 times against the Giants.
Oh, he, I don't know if that's ever, and Nate, thank you for the call. I don't know if that's ever going to change. The sack thing, I don't know if that's ever going to do it, because that's what he got drafted for. That's what you traded him for, is that he could extend plays. And sometimes he's going to get brought down. I go back to the last play. It's not even the Giants stuff. I go back to the last play the last week against Las Vegas. He kind of did what he does. I wish he would have got rid of the ball. I wish he would have given somebody a chance. Like, and yeah, if he would have thrown a pick, his QBR would have been even worse. And I'm sure people would have beat up on him. And I'm sure we would have had these great big fights. Maybe I would have gotten all emotional about it. But I can't sit there and argue about that. I want a chance to win. And he did not give them, at that moment, the best chance to win. He gives them a chance to win in that spot. Don't get me wrong. The drive, they were able to get down the field. But you got to give them the best chance to win. And the best chance to win was just getting rid of the football and seeing if anybody could make a play.
That was the hard part. Because
people send us the freeze frame. I don't want to see the freeze frame. We've been down that road a million times.
It's just we're not talking about a rookie. We are talking about a vet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've wondered where Watson's confidence has been. At times during that game, I thought it was the highest it's been as a Cleveland Brown.
Which, again, there was another guy who we had who would take the sack. And there was one time against Kansas City where he actually did get rid of the football. And then he got picked off. And then I had to make an argument for that guy. Same thing, man. The characters just changed.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.